What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the North Shore 9 post-game show. I'm Jim. With me is Doug. The Pirates lose today 9-7 to the Philadelphia Phillies. In I believe this was their 15th game of spring training. Doug, how you doing today?
I'm good, Jim. It's good to see you. It's been a long off season, so nice to talk to you again.
Always good to see you, Doug. For sure. Yeah, so let's kind of get right into it. This is our second post-game show of the spring, my first post-game of the year, so trying to shake some rust off here, but there were some pretty momentous occurrences today. O'Neal Cruz being the first thing I want to talk about. He led off the first inning with a solo home run. And then he, in his second at bat, worked a full count. Max Castillo, the Phillies pitcher, hangs a slider, and O'Neal Cruz just crushes it. Both balls just absolutely murdered, Doug. 114.4 miles per hour, 116.4 miles per hour. The dude just killed the ball both times. So, yeah, pretty incredible performance from him. He seems to be firing on all cylinders. What you see from Cruz today?
Yeah, again, it's pretty impressive. I mean, he's not just, these are not wind-aided home runs that we see a lot down there at Bradenton, right? The guy's crushing the ball. And, I'd say my only concern with him is that he's so anxious to get back out there and play and wants to do so much that he might get a little out of his, in that third at bat, he didn't really get a good pitch to hit, and he was trying to get that third home run, It's obvious he loves playing the game, and the talent is just something, and he seems to be capitalizing on it now.
Yeah, he's now slugging .778. You brought up the third at bat. He did strike out once, but also in his fourth at bat, worked the count, two strike count, puts the ball in play, and drives a run in. So four runs driven in on the game for O'Neal Cruz. I just, kind of just looking at him throughout the whole spring, the first week or so, he wasn't hitting balls over the fence, but you saw the approach that he was taking. You liked what you saw. He was getting on base. He was drawing walks, having good at bats, not striking out. Now we're seeing him hitting the ball hard over the fence. So it's kind of nice to see how his spring has progressed, right? He kind of started off just, hey, he's having the approach you want to see. And now you're seeing an O'Neal Cruz who seems to be, like I said, just absolutely locked in. It's like, can the season already start? I'm kind of mad that we still have to wait three more weeks for this season to start, because Cruz looks like he's ready to go.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, Cabrian Hayes has another two hard hits today, but I'm still thinking that maybe I need to switch my MVP futures bet to O'Neal Cruz, right? I mean, if he... we saw it like last year in spring and the first nine games of the season, he had much better at bats than he did that rookie season. And if he is, if this thing is real, if this is really what's happening, if this is not fluky spring training stuff or whatever, and it doesn't look like it because it's the approach is what looks so good. And now he's sort of combining that approach with the results that, one would expect. And, man, he looks good. It's hard not to be encouraged. It's hard to just chuck this off to it's spring and it doesn't matter, but man, yeah, you're right. I can't wait to be in Miami, watch him against the Marlins.
For sure. I mean, homers 2 and 3 of the spring. You mentioned Hayes as well. The five hardest hit balls in today's game were O'Neal Cruz, Ke'Bryan Hayes. We'll get to Hayes. But I also wanted to touch on, you know, in the first inning, Cruz leads off with that homer. But then Brian Reynolds also home run, his third of the spring. He just seems to be, I think Brian Reynolds, you're kind of just, you know what to expect from the guy. You want him to just get his timing down and get through spring training healthy. And he seems to at least be doing what you want him to do at this point.
Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, it's the old cliche. He's a professional hitter. If he was 0 for 25 right now, I don't think I'd be worried. You know, we know this guy can hit. He has his little slumps and whatnot, but I mean, every time he comes to plate, I expect something good. And we don't have a lot of that. We haven't had a lot of that over the past couple of years. And it's just, he just goes about his business and, you know, doesn't say much, doesn't show any emotion, but just gets up there and has a good or bad, is getting results. It's interesting to me that there's a possibility, and if things go really well, that he might be the fourth best hitter in the lineup at the end of the season. And if you're right about Jack Sawinski, maybe the fifth, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, it's not hard to see Henry Davis and O'Neill Cruz and Brian Hayes having good seasons, again, based on spring results, but they all have the talent to do that. The talent, there's no doubt that the talent's there. You know, I know I'm getting a little out there. It's a little early, but boy, it would be fun. Would be fun if that were the case at the end of the season.
No, I agree. The offense is definitely, it's enticing, right? Like what we've seen so far. And Reynolds mentioned it on the broadcast today that, you know, the wind, obviously, like when you're playing in Lee-Com, that wind is blowing straight out. I'll say this, like the home runs that Cruz hit today were out of any ballpark. Reynolds, you know, maybe a 50-50 homer, but yeah, the offense is firing on all cylinders. You mentioned Reynolds being maybe the fourth best, you know, Cruz, if Hayes is hitting this well, if Sawinski can hit, Davis is crushing the ball this spring. Yeah. It just feels like Alex says here, you know, the lineup's not necessarily like Brian Reynolds and friends. And that's kind of how it's felt these past few years. Especially with
Cruz, they weren't very good friends. Yeah. It was Brian Reynolds. Yeah. They weren't good friends. They wouldn't help you move.
Right, exactly. we'll go back to the hitters here, but Cruz and Reynolds were the first two I wanted to talk about. But let's dive into the pitching today. I feel like that was really the most important piece of today's game. You know, there's still a battle going on for these fourth and fifth rotation spots. There's still bullpen spots left up for grabs. Quinn Priester gets the start today. He goes 3 2/3, 5 hits, 5 runs, 3 strikeouts, no walks. Started off, Doug, looking great. That first inning that he had, and I want to talk about particular his second battery face, Derek Hall, started him off with, I believe it was a slider. Then he hit him with a curveball. And then he hit him with a 96-mile-an-hour fastball right at the top of the zone. One of the better just pitching sequences I've seen from any Pirates starter, let alone Quinn Priester. He was really on. His pitches were on. He was hitting his spots. And that lasted 3 innings where he looked really, really good.
And then the wheels fall off, right? Which has been, I mean, we'll his first start. Later. What did he?
Yeah, let's talk about the good stuff first, Doug.
No, he looked great. And I was actually, at that point, I was listening to the radio and Bob Walk was just gushing. You know, he's like, look at that. Look, he's hitting 96. And he said that, you know, that's about the top of where he's going to be. But just the pitch sequence, the command, he just looks so good. But he sort of got worse each inning, right? That first inning was just masterful. The second inning wasn't quite as good. He did go 6 up, 6 down. Third inning, he gives up a run. And then, you know, in the fourth inning, it's grand slam.
I want to talk about that fourth inning because I feel like we saw this before with Quinn Priester. Like we've seen this exact start play out multiple times in his very short major league career where he'll look good out of the gate. His pitches will look good. Velocity will look good. He's fooling hitters. And I mean, he got a lot of swings and misses, especially with that breaking stuff early on. A total of 10 swings and misses today. So like the whiffs were there. But then the fourth inning comes. He's seeing guys the second time through. And some things don't really go his way, because you look in that fourth inning and, you know, there were some things that happened in that inning where, you know, you wouldn't necessarily fault Priester for, you know, the hit by pitch really hit being the pitch. Main thing, right? One out, Edmundo Sosa basically pulls a Jose Tabata. He leans in on this thing. That pitch was a borderline strike that hit Edmundo Sosa. If this was a regular season game, Derek Shelton's probably coming out of the dugout and like you're getting tossed over an umpire call like that. In no way should that have been ruled a hit by pitch.
The batter himself is like, no, I didn't get hit.
it was like Sosa didn't even want to go to first base. I mean, he got hit, but like he got hit with a strike. I'm like, it was a borderline strike. So you have that happen, and so then it's like, okay, some things have not gone his way. How is he going to respond to this? Because this is a whole part of the development of Quinn Priester, right? Like, we've seen this before. We've seen him look good. We've seen him get into trouble, and we've seen him fall apart, right? So you want to see growth. Whenever you get into that situation, he's a year older now. He's got a year more under his belt. What can he do in this situation to make you say, you know what? Quinn Priester is a different pitcher today than he was last year. So when that stuff happens, the stuff that I'm looking for with Quinn Priester is, okay, how's he going to respond to this? First and second, one out. He gets hit by pitch. Then he gives up a single. Then he loads the bases, and Cody Clemens hits a grand slam. Boom. All of a sudden, this start that looked really good for Quinn Priester, you're now in the fourth inning with one out, and he's given up five runs. So it wasn't what you wanted to see.
No, I was preparing to sort of shout you down a little over, you know, your NSN Live, where you're like, yeah, just kind of out on Quinn Priester. And I'm like, how can you be out on Quinn Priester? Look at that, you know, six up, six down, and then right back to, I mean, just it's amazing how good he looks and then how bad he looks two innings later. You don't see that a lot. I mean, you see guys lose it, but it's, you know, is he going to, maybe he could be a good opener at this point. You don't feel comfortable with him getting into the third inning. I think Buckle Mike just said that second time through the order, his ERA is 17.98. That's not good. Those are not, I'm no advanced analytic guy, but not good. And you're right.
If you trust Bucko Mike numbers. He may have just made that up, but you never know.
I have complete faith and trust in Bucko Mike. So.
There you go. The one and only.
But no, he's right. This has happened enough, right? This isn't it was nearly every start last year. We sent him down to the minors. He comes back, his first start back. He just, you know, he looks fantastic for three or four innings. And then I just can't see the dramatic drop off. He's got to, I don't know what, you know, we're always talking, Austin Hedges calls a great game, and it's, who's calling his games, right? I mean, why isn't Oscar Mayer, somebody else, if they're talking about, oh, he wanted to throw this, he wanted to throw that, he shouldn't be allowed to do anything, right? I mean, he should not be allowed to shake anybody off. He shouldn't, and there should be a plan for him, and it seems like we sit there, they're as effective as we are. They just watch it like we do. Nobody, I don't understand. You see the signs of trouble with him coming. It's not a subtle, you know, descent. It's you know, like you said, you go from six up, six down to load the bases pretty quickly.
And again, it's spring training. So it's like, you don't necessarily want to look at results and judge people by them, because there are things that they are working on. But like, in my opinion, this is something that Quinn Priester needs to be working on, right? Like, Quinn Priester needs to get into trouble, and Quinn Priester needs to show that he can get out of it. In this case, he didn't do it.
Right. I mean, that's absolutely right. That's the thing that he needs to be working on. He doesn't need to be working on throwing his fastball at the top of the zone. He needs to work on what happens when someone's on base, what he does the minute somebody gets on base. It's, you know, he's not going to throw perfect games. He's not going to have perfect, you know, these perfect innings to start every game. And he needs that. I mean, that's right. That's his single biggest thing. He needs to be working.
So. Yeah. And it happens like it happens that second, third time through the order. And so this was really his first time to show it the second time through. And he didn't. So not what you wanted to see from Priester. Like I said, you saw some encouraging things, but you know, ultimately it ends up being that that's just standard, normal Quinn Priester start where it's like he looked good for a little bit and then the wheels fell off. So hopefully, you know, he's going to be in this big league camp until the end of it. Like he's going to get a shot to win this, win one of these jobs. So he's going to have plenty more opportunities, but really his first extended start of the spring, not what you want to see, in my opinion. Yeah. So Cam Aldred comes in, finishes off the fourth inning for him, and then that brings on another guy competing for one of these rotation spots, Jared Jones. Probably, I don't think he looked as electric today as he did his last time out. You know, he did top off at, let's see, Jared Jones topped out at 100.3 miles per hour. He finished 2 2/3 innings, 2 hits, 2 unearned runs. I will say that, like, the 2 runs that he did give up should have been a 1-2-3 inning. There was an O'Neill Cruz error thrown in there that led to the extended inning and the, you know, those runs coming in. But again, kind of that same thing we saw with Priester where, okay, something didn't go your way. Now figure out a way to get out of it. And he didn't do it.
Right. They're unearned runs, but he needed to clean that up, right? That's when you have to pick up your teammate mm-hmm. and, you know, he gave up 2 pretty hard hit balls.
Yeah, I will say this, missing a lot of bats today, though, Jared Jones. That was kind of the one knock on him before, not missing a lot of bats. Today, missed a ton of bats. That cutter, slider, whatever you want to call it, Statcast calls it a cutter, but 9 swings on that thing today. 7 swings and misses. Only 1 ball put in play out of those 9 swings. So the stuff is there. It looks really good. I'm going to kind of give him the benefit of the doubt here on those unearned runs because, you know, there was an error. In my opinion, Jared Jones is that number 5 starter on this team. I don't think he did anything today to disprove it. Like I said, the breaking stuff was on today at times. I think he could do a better job of locating it at times. Those 2 doubles that he did give up that led to those 2 runs, not the best location on those breaking balls,
right?
But those are things that obviously you work on. I think right now Jerry Jones's stuff is just so good that he can also get away with some of that stuff at times. There was a strikeout in particular when he got out of a jam. I think it was the last. It might have been in his first inning, but same thing. Slider up in the zone, kind of put it in a weird spot, but because it's so good, he got the swing and miss on it. He's in just a different position where Priester, where I think Priester just needs to be like more perfect with his pitches. Jones's stuff is so good. He doesn't have to be perfect with it.
That absolutely right. Priester does not have, you know, he can't rear back like that and then make a mistake and still get away with it. You know, Quinn Priester does not have a lot of room mm-hmm. margin for error. Jones still looks pretty good. I would say he's the kind of leader in the clubhouse amongst the guys that are fighting for.
Lost you, Doug. I think you were about to say Jared Jones is the leader in the clubhouse for the guys fighting for that 5th spot. And kind of like I said before, I agree with you. We'll wait for you to get back up here. Doug, in that, does anybody want to, somebody needs to front some money so we can move Doug out of Alabama. That Alabama internet, it is just not great. So, but again, okay. It's spring training for us. It's spring training for Doug's internet. There you go, Doug. You're back.
Yeah. I'm changing carriers today.
That was the last straw.
That was it. I mean, I called the service today and had him take me through, you know, like make sure everything's working. Oh, it's all fine, Mr. Ford.
What can you say? But no, go ahead and continue on what you were saying.
No, I mean
leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah. And Jones looks really good. I am concerned about his stamina. He does seem to lose his velocity a little. He's not, you know, we babied him throughout the minors. He's never pitched. He's pitched 7 innings 1 time. I think he's only thrown more than 85 pitches or up to 85 pitches one time. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, again, and I'm expecting if he's our fifth starter, he's probably not going to pitch more than five innings too often. And he doesn't have the innings in the bank yet. So, I mean, that'll be fine. But again, now we're to that part of spring where we start getting where, you know, now it's like he's going to start going 3, 4, 5 innings, hopefully. And we'll see, see if the, you know, because with his stuff, he's going to look good first two innings, you know, first three innings, easy. He's just going to be able to work his way through lineups. But what happens the second time through? What happens when he's a little tired? So there's a lot for him to prove still and show, but you can't help but be encouraged by what he's doing.
Yeah, you mentioned the velocity drop. He kind of, like I said, he started off those first 10 pitches or so. You know, pitch 10 was 100.3 miles per hour. After that pitch, he did not throw another fastball above 99, and most of them were 96 to 98, right? So, yeah, you definitely saw that fastball dip after his first, you know, five or so batters that he faced. Something to definitely keep an eye on because, again, like the knock on him has been that longevity. Like, can he be a starting pitcher? Can he go through a lineup two full times? Can he give you six innings, you know, when he goes out there? And as good as the stuff is, he hasn't really proven that yet, right? Like I think he's proven that he is one of the top five arms still in big league camp when it comes to starting pitchers. But I think, you know, the next thing that he needs to prove is, can he give you 5 to 6 innings consistently? Because that's the thing. If you're going to pitch effectively with this kind of stuff, I don't need you to be a workhorse. I don't need you to go out there and pitch 7, 8 innings. If you can get me 5 innings and give up 1 run and strike out 7, I'll take that every day. Like, absolutely. Hand that over to the bullpen, which is a strength.
Right. The strength of this pitching staff right now is the bullpen. So if you can get to the bullpen only giving up a run or two, yeah, that's fine. Thank you very much. Let's get the next guy.
But I think that's kind of the next thing that he needs to prove to everyone is, okay, we've all seen the stuff. We know it's good. Can he do it for 70, 80, 90 pitches? Because that we haven't seen yet. So.
Right.
So I mean, Jones exits the game. At this point, it's a 7-7 ball game. Tie ball game up until the ninth. Braxton Ashcraft comes in. Again, more unearned runs given up. Ashcraft, another interesting prospect, top 10 guy for the Pirates. He comes in a relief role. Stuff, again, looks pretty good. But as I said, gives up the 2 runs. Termar Johnson makes an error in that inning that proves to be very costly. And that ultimately ends up being the difference maker in this one. I would expect Ashcraft probably doesn't pitch again until Thursday for that prospect breakout game. He is on that roster. I don't know how much longer he's got in big league camp either. The fact that he only threw 1 inning today kind of makes me think that, like, I mean, if you want this guy to be a starter in the minors, you're going to have to start working him up somehow. And if you're only going to give him 1 inning or so in a major league game, send him down to minor league camp so we can start building that arm up.
Right. Yeah, they're definitely handling it with kid gloves, and that's fine. But you're right. It's, if you want him to be a starter, he's got to, and he's going to start once a week and throw 3 innings there for a while, it looks like. But let's kind of get him on that path. He definitely looks interesting. And, you know, we sort of write guys off when they disappear for a while like that. And, he missed almost 2 seasons with injuries. So, you know, I mean, the stuff looks good. I mean, there's, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what he does, and I'm hoping Triple A, but maybe I don't know. You never know what the Pirates are doing up there.
Yeah, Triple A would be pushing him, I think. Like, but I mean, Triple A would be pushing him, but I mean, hey, if you push him, like, he's 24 years old at this point, like, he's not young anymore. Yeah. But yeah, I'd be all for that. Hunter Stratton, who was my very much under the radar breakout candidate. He gets 4 strikeouts today. in an inning and a third. And that Dowry Moretta injury, it's leaving some open spots in that bullpen. I'm just saying, Hunter Stratton, keep an eye out.
Yeah.
Hunter Stratton.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Why not? It doesn't what you're expecting from where he'd be in the bullpen, right? I mean, where he's not going to pitch seventh, eighth, or ninth, I wouldn't even think, right? He's going to be that fifth, sixth inning guy. Yeah, I think he could be very effective in that role. Good story. Seems like a good dude to root for. Why not? Why not? Let's bring him in.
I think he's definitely putting together a pretty good argument for one of those spots. Again, non-roster invitee. Had a okay showing, you know, last year too, in a, you know, a cameo performance. He had 8 major league games, didn't pitch too poorly, but yeah. That's really all I've got. I mean, offensively, not a whole lot else happened. Jared Triola with 2 walks, so he continues to get on base. 393 OBP on the spring. Edward Olivares finally, you know, doing something. He gets a double. Key Brian Hayes, you mentioned earlier, 3 really hard hit balls. He gets 2 hits. Problem with Hayes today, all 3 balls hit on the ground. So obviously we want to see him lift those, but you know, he goes 2 for 3. He's hitting .409 this spring now. Outside that, do you got anything else you want to add?
No, I mean, really, what's, I guess, our spring training so far has been, you know, the exact example of what you expect a spring training to be. Like, we're not really getting great results. We're not winning games, but the guys that we're hoping for and counting on most are producing, right? It's Henry Davis, Brian Hayes, O'Neill Cruz. And then, you know, the second base battle is not going to be won by default. Like, someone's going to actually win that, right? Yep. Triolo and Peguero are both playing well. It's still an encouraging spring with you know, every game. The universe just wants to end this spectrum. And Buckle Mike's right, I've got spectrum, but not anymore. Not anymore.
You're back. You're back.
Podcast, and I don't care if that's tomorrow at 6 a.m. T-Mobile.
You're switching the internet tonight. I got around. We'll get out of here. Before we get out of here, though, I'll say this. Like, I think you hit the nail on the head when it comes to the position players. I think we're seeing a lot of encouraging signs from the guys that we want to see the encouraging signs from. Right. Well, I will say this. I'm still somewhat disappointed that there hasn't been someone who has, like, really came in and just said, you know what? I'm taking one of these last 2 rotation spots. Every single guy who's really in the mix for one of those 2 spots, they've had some positives, but they've had some negatives. There really hasn't been anybody yet who's just completely came in and just grabbed a hold of one of those spots. Jared Jones probably being the top one. But I said, even today, some things there that I didn't love, but I think today was a pretty good outing from him, and he's had a really good spring so far. So, you know, maybe some encouraging things there from Jones this spring. But yeah, as far as the rest of the guys, we need somebody to step up. Somebody's got to step up and grab those spots.
Yeah, absolutely. Martin Perez has looked good. Priester, Contreras, Ortiz, nobody has shown, and they've shown little flashes, little glimpses, but nobody's shown anything that's like, oh yeah, I want that guy being our number 4 starter. Gonzalez as well. The one that's looked the best is Jared Jones, but there are legitimate questions still about him. I didn't expect him to start the season on the opening day roster. So if he does,
good for him. That would be great. I'm going to go ahead and just finish your sentence. That's all. While we wait for Doug to clear up his internet, we will have Starbucks tomorrow at 7 a.m. And then, you know what? Next weekend, post-game shows start coming on TV a lot more. So we're going to have a lot more post-game shows starting probably towards the end of this week. Also on Thursday for the prospect breakout game. Stay tuned. We are going to do an NS9 game day. So yeah, we're gonna be live during the game. Doug's internet is just a mess. We're gonna be live during the game talking about it. We're gonna have some guests on too. But that's it for us today. Again, Pirates lose 9-7. O'Neill Cruz 2 rocket home runs. Outside of that, that's all I got for you guys. We'll catch you later. I'll see you tomorrow on Starbucks. Later, guys.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.